Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Manchester United Weekly Podcast. We're joined by Vavil UK's Liverpool editor, Charlie Malham, as we talk North West Derby. Still the biggest in the country, but not quite the best in quality, was it? United won, Liverpool won, as Paul Pogba put in his worst balls in the United shirt, and others on both sides look distinctly average. As always, after this, we've got our extended youth and loan roundup as an under-18s game is postponed due to the weather. Well, the under-23s play Liverpool like the first team just after we record this. We'll start with Charlie. Cheers for coming on.
Yeah, no problem.
We both spoke to you before the game, and I went for a 3-2 classic United win.
Yeah.
Not quite. What did you make of it?
Well, it's a strange game, really, wasn't it? Because I think we come away from it, and I don't think either were particularly better than the, I think United definitely had the better chances, I think, in the first half, Mkhitaryan and especially Pogba when he puts it wide at the far post. But then I didn't feel United were generally, across the full 90 minutes, I think United were probably the better team in the first half, and then Liverpool probably edged it the second half and had a few better chances, and then probably, until the goal, I thought we captured to very few chances, really. And it's strange because both teams come away disappointed in the end, don't they? Because United really, if you take those chances in the first half, you could very easily have gone away with the full 3 points. Whereas Liverpool was so close to just holding out. And the 3 points would have been massive for Liverpool, obviously, because they'd have gone back up to second, 5 points off Chelsea. But I think in the end, probably a point is fair for both teams. And I think when you consider that Liverpool were missing Sadio Mane, Jordan Henderson's only just come back, Joel Matip wasn't fit, who else? Philip Coutinho was on the bench, so we had a few big names missing, really. So I thought, given the performance we put in with Trent Alexander-Arnold making he's only played 1 minute of Premier League football before that, so I thought he did really well. And, as a team performance, I was quite pleased with it really, even though we obviously didn't hang on at the end.
Yeah, that's the thing, because as I said, I predicted 3-2 before the game, a couple of days before the game. But then the lineups come out, and you see Alexander-Arnold, who I've watched for Liverpool's youth side in England, but he's a really good talent. But at any level, you're 18 and you're making your debut, your full debut.
Oh yeah, at Old Trafford. Yeah, exactly. I was nervous because there was a couple of times early on where Anthony Martial, especially. Was it the first half, I think, where he cuts inside Alexander-Arnold and tries to get a shot away, and I was thinking, oh no, this could be... I rate Alexander-Arnold highly, but sometimes there's being thrown in at the deep end, and then there's being thrown in away at Old Trafford against a United team that have won 9 on the bounce and that are unbeaten in 15 games, so I was quite worried. But then I thought he coped with it. He got better as the game grew up, as went through, certainly, so... I think generally, bar a couple of moments like Lovren's back pass, that had my heart in my mouth, and then a couple of other occasions. I think generally we defended quite well. There's, I think a lot of United's chances, bar the Mkhitaryan one, which was really bizarre defending. I don't know why Clavan steps up, tries to play him offside when Lovren's about 3 yards behind him. Bar that, I think it's just United's quality, really, that carved open the chances, particularly the one for Pogba. I didn't think our defending was that bad throughout the game.
No, it definitely wasn't. I was impressed with Alexander Arnold, and I was partly pleased to see him in there because he's a weaker choice than Klein, but I was also partly pleased just to see an 18-year-old getting into a first team in a team as good as Liverpool, even if it's as a backup. We should be winning this comfortably. And I know that teams don't really matter in these kind of games. It's a classic cliche, and results don't, and form doesn't, and everything like that. But that said, without Mane, who's been vital to you, not just in terms of his quality as a player, but also in terms of what he gives to you that no other player does in terms of that width on the pitch, and we definitely saw that restricted until Coutinho came on, even though he was playing in the middle, which just helped that. And also Joel Matip not being allowed to play, or maybe being allowed to play, but who knows. FIFA being traditionally unorganised.
No surprise.
Yeah, Jack, for you looking at the two starting levels before the game, you must have thought, like me, we should be winning this comfortably, given that we beat Liverpool 3-0 with a midfield of like Rooney, Mata, Valencia, Young, and I think it was Fellaini.
Definitely. I was very happy with the team we put out. And as you said, very happy when I saw Liverpool's team. Liverpool were missing so many of their star players. But teams form, everything goes out the window in games like this, because it all just becomes about who can deal with the occasion and the pressure better. And Liverpool definitely did that for most of the game. I think we definitely left feeling like we could have played so much better. I think Liverpool could have played better themselves, but I think it was a better draw for Liverpool than it was for us, especially given the amount of people that Liverpool had out and the kind of teams that both teams are putting out. It was definitely a disappointing performance, especially Alexander Arnold played very, very well, I have to say. Martial was corralled very well, and credit to Jurgen Klopp actually, because I tweeted about this during the game, but I don't know if you noticed that every single time Martial had the ball, there was immediately two or three players on him every single time. They never let Alexander-Arnold get isolated against Martial, which is great planning from Liverpool and very good by the manager and the players to recognise that and to deal with it straight away.
Yeah, and Klopp did well. We're going to move on to Pogba. We can't really avoid it. But as we say, we should have won, and the draw is disappointing for both teams, but I think Liverpool probably would have taken... Charlie, am I right in saying you would have taken that pre-game with your injury situation?
I think so, because looking at the lineup and the situation with which both teams went into it in the form, obviously the form that United were on, and we'd had a bit of a blip to start 2017, I think we were just looking at it thinking we cannot afford to lose, because if you lose, you fall 8 points behind Chelsea with obviously Chelsea coming up later this month, and you go into a couple of tough games coming up, because you've got that Southampton second leg, which we've got a deficit to overturn as well. I think we go into it with not without any confidence, because with the quality we've got with our manager, performance and the result that we come away with after yesterday definitely reinforces that. We'll go on and win the league. That's a completely different matter, because Chelsea look phenomenal. Even against Leicester without Diego Costa, they swept them aside so comfortably. But I do think that we can go on and have a successful season. Whether that means silverware or whether that just means second or third, I was really encouraged by the performance given the players that we were missing. And then for the rest of the season now, we've got 10 of our last 17 games are at home, and we've had a really strong home. I think we've only lost 3 games at home under Klopp since he came in, and we've played most of the big teams away from home. I think we've only got City to go, and then we've obviously got all the rest of we've got Arsenal, Spurs, those kind of teams to welcome to Anfield, so it's certainly going to be interesting.
Yeah, so let's move on to Paul Pogba, as much as I don't want to. But an abysmal performance in the first half, below average in the second half. Not quite as shocking, but pretty bad. Firstly, the fact he wasn't taken off Lovren, even after the penalty, is nonsensical. Doesn't make sense. You did, but then after the penalty, definitely should have happened. And I think Pogba probably should have said himself to Mourinho or Carrick, who was captain in that first half, switch me. Like that's what a responsible player does. But apart from that mistake, he was really bad, losing the ball, everything like that. But I just want to say, look, he was terrible, like shocking. But suggestions that this whole hashtag Pogba emoji on Twitter affected his performance, and I think that's ridiculous. The reason he's bad in that game, having been brilliant for 3 months, almost every time nominated for Man of the Match, almost every time probably deserving of Man of the Match, was because every time he touched the ball, like we said about Martial earlier, what Jack said about Jurgen Klopp protecting Alexander-Arnold by having three on Martial. Three Liverpool players, one Pogba, every time he touched the ball, within a second maximum. That's all the time he had on the ball. He's never really had to play like that. And I wasn't really supported by Carrick like he usually is. Carrick got taken off at half-time. I can only assume he was ill or injured because he didn't look the player that he usually is. And he's one that definitely isn't one to fall to the occasion. But he's unnerved after about 3 or 4 minutes because he's never played in this situation before by that unusual sort of press from Liverpool that most teams in England can't do with three players or two players at least on the same play every time. And then he misses a good chance. Then he gives away a stupid penalty, probably having known that he kept losing his marker. And as I said, when he knew that, he probably should have told a senior player or the manager. But now you've got a nervous player who needs to prove a point in a big game. I mean, does that remind you of anyone? I mean, to me, it sounds like Pogba early in the season, in September, when he was trying to prove himself after breaking the world record transfer. It's exactly the same, but even worse because he'd been so pumped pre-game for a United Liverpool game, which is the reason he'd come back to United. Everything, and he can't do everything because no player in the world can do everything. And Gary Neville said it at pre-game that he was a bit overhyped. He's kind of charging out of the tunnel. He's trying to get the fans going, waving his arms about. And so you've got the fact he's trying to prove a point mixed with the fact he's overhyped for this big game. And you've got this complete mess of in his head. Jack, would you agree with that, or do you think he's rubbish and can't defend
him? yeah, just sell him now. Get rid of him. No, I agree. It was Pogba looked like he was trying too hard every single time he got the ball. It's as if he got onto the big stage and thought, I need to prove to everyone why I'm so good. And every time he got the ball, he wanted to go past five people and make five assists and score six goals every time he touched the ball. Like the worst one for me, and Regis showed this, was in the second half, he got the ball, I think just inside the Liverpool half, and immediately had two players on him, like you said. And he turned like he was facing his own goal. There were two centre-backs there. He could have just played a simple pass to one of them. And he tried to turn past three people. And we lost the ball and Liverpool ended up going on the counter-attack. And it was a very unnecessary thing to even attempt. And it was just him trying to prove to everyone that he is good. And he doesn't need to. He just needs to keep playing the way that he has been. But again, as you said, credit to Liverpool for the way that they defended against him. Because obviously Liverpool's press is good anyway. But particularly against Pogba and against Carrick, to be fair. Liverpool are the one team who, in the last few months, have managed to shut down Michael Carrick. And it showed his importance to our team because Liverpool shut down, like, they didn't give him time on the ball. They shut down his effectiveness and it really, really affected us.
Carrick comes off for Rooney at half time. Fair enough, an odd substitution. I was very surprised at that. And Rooney was getting a lot of criticism after on various social media. And yeah, he wasn't brilliant. Contributed to changing the game, putting more effort in and drawing more effort from his teammates, because everyone, however poor a player he is now, the leadership quality is still there. So I don't know, from a non-Rooney supporting perspective, Charlie, did you look at him and think that's a player we can take advantage of, or did you look at him and think that's a worry for us?
When Rooney came on, Well, like you said, I thought it was quite bizarre that Carrick went off, because I thought while we did quite well to prevent him having the impact that he usually does on United, I didn't think he was particularly poor. I didn't think he was expecting to bring you to bring off, but I didn't think it was Carrick. And then I tweeted before the game that I just had this feeling in my head that Rooney would come on and that he'd get that 250th goal. But I think I got the impression that he had that in his head too, and he was so keen to make that happen. And obviously, I think everyone inside the stadium would have loved, well, bar the 3,000 away fans, would have loved Rooney to break the record against Liverpool, because it'd just be so perfect, wouldn't it? Narrative-wise, having been an Everton youngster as well. But I'm not sure. I think we did much better defensively in the second half, so I don't think Rooney really had much chance to have an impact when he came on. But like you say, with his leadership, and there's always the potential that he can change the game in an instant, because while he might not be the player that he was 10 years ago, he still has a lot of quality, and he can still change almost any game. So I was worried, but by the time it was getting to the 80th, 85th minute, I was thinking, come on, we can do this. We can hold this out. And then you just started applying a bit more pressure, and the goal was a strange one, because I don't think it came through any errors. I don't think, maybe watching it back a few times, there wasn't that many chances where you thought, oh, just put it out of play or anything like that. So I think it was just a product of you put a lot of pressure on us throughout that second half, and the intensity of that, I think it just paid through at the end.
Yeah, I think it was a deserved draw for both teams.
Yeah, definitely.
Strangely, because usually after a draw, you still feel that there's one team that deserves to win. But really, after that game, I couldn't really say that either team deserved to win. Because Liverpool were good in the second half, they didn't really deserve that goal in the first half. And were defensively dodgy at times. And didn't threaten that much attacking-wise. The United were just all over. Zlatan Ibrahimovic, only Dwight York and Ruud van Nistelrooy scored more goals for United in their first 20 Premier League games. 14 goals, top goal scorer. On a free from PSG, plus what he's going to take off.
It's been what a signing! Hey, I mean, I still can't quite believe how well he's turned out. Honestly, like I didn't kind of go with this narrative that his career was finished and that he was over the hill, but I definitely didn't expect him to come in and have this much of an impact straight away. And also, like, his finish for that goal was very underrated as well, because that was not an easy header. He had to stoop to get that anywhere near on goal, and then to place it that well to get it over Mignolet. That was a brilliant header. His general play wasn't amazing yesterday, but the one thing you can count on with Ibrahimovic is that if he gets a chance, generally he's going to put it away. And his finishing just seems to go up a level when it's in big moments in towards the end of the game, when his team really needs it as well. And I mean, it was a brilliant header, but as you said, a draw, definitely the right result in the end. Neither team, it almost wasn't so much that it was a very they deserve to win, I think.
Yeah. Another poor quality United Liverpool game. Another game that is built up as a
seems like it'd be on now, doesn't it?
Yeah, another game that's built up as a season defining moment and ends in a draw.
And I guess it was nice, because usually we're kind of used to. I've grown up in Liverpool United. One team is in much better form and in much better position in the league table than the other, and then it's always translated into like a one-sided game, really. I can't remember too many United-Liverpool games where it's been a real even game that you just don't know which way it's going to go, and that kind of was, so as frustrating as it was thinking back that we didn't win the game, it was at least nice to see that, I suppose.
Yeah, David Harbour was up 3-2. Brings back good memories.
Bad memories.
Yeah. We're not going to mention a certain Spanish striker's name on this podcast. Oh, Nemanja Vidic. Anyway, we better let you go in a second, but just as a last point, who's going to finish above who?
That is a tough question. Well, it's so difficult to call this season, isn't it? Because it does seem like we say it every year now, but this is the most level Premier League, I think, with a competitive Premier League season I think I've ever seen, because just when you think Chelsea are so far above the rest, then look at Spurs now, look how well they're playing. Liverpool early in the season were obviously, they're not quite the level now that we were maybe a few months ago, but yet we've still only lost two games and we've won 13 of 21, which is obviously very good with the squad and with what everyone expected of us. And then you can never really write off Arsenal. Yes, they'll probably have their traditional post-February slide, but then the quality they've got, you can't really, it's hard to call, because I do think I would be surprised and obviously massively disappointed if from now Liverpool didn't finish inside the top four, because from the first half of the season we've given ourselves such a good foundation to go on and have a good successful second half, especially with our fixtures and how many home games we've got compared to away. But then, like I say, it's so competitive, you just can't call it. It's hard to see. I think at the minute, it's difficult to say anyone bar Chelsea are going to win the league, just because they look so good at the moment. And I think everyone's sort of relying on hopefully Diego Costa maybe pushing his way out to China and then having a bit of a slip after that. But whether that happens, who knows? And then bar that, Spurs are looking really good at the minute. Their defence is, I would say their defence is the best in the league. Toby Alderweireld, I think, is the best defender in the Premier League. He's phenomenal. And Harry Kane with the form that he's in, Eriksen. So, I hope that Liverpool can go on and finish second and third. As for United, I'm not sure, because if you can carry this form that you're on at the minute, it's so difficult to look past you for the top four. But at the start of the season, even though it was Mourinho's first season and you obviously welcomed quite a lot of new signings in, I would have had you nailed down for the top four, just because I thought Ibrahimovic had come in. I didn't think maybe he'd have this many goals at this stage, but I did think he'd get 15 or so across the season. So he's done really, really well. And then obviously at the start, didn't he, with injuries and breaking into the team. But when you've got Mkhitaryan in your team, you just look so much better. And then with Carrick allows Pogba to, obviously Pogba wasn't great yesterday, but I still think he's a very, very good player, and I think he will go on and have a phenomenal career. I really would be surprised if he didn't go on and become one of the best players in the world and one of the best players of his generation, really. He has that much potential at such a young age. So I'll say that I don't think Arsenal are going to drop out of the top four. Chelsea won't. Liverpool won't. I think maybe United will just fall short. But then it's hard to call what happens to City too, because at the start of the season I said City would win the league, and that just looks stupid now, doesn't it? I thought City, especially after them first 10 games, is thinking, oh my god, who's going to stop these? And now they just can't get going again, can they? They seem to put together a good win. They won at Arsenal, against Arsenal, didn't they? And I was there for that. And that second half, they were so much better, and I thought, oh hang on, here we go then. This might be Guardiola getting his things together now. Absolutely thrashed by Everton. So let's say Chelsea win the league, Liverpool second. That's I just realised that's quite ambitious, but oh well. Arsenal third. City fourth. Spurs fifth. United sixth. Oh, it's so hard to call, and I'm going to regret that when United finish second and Liverpool fifth, aren't I?
I'm holding that to you.
Yeah.
I might make a clip of that. I'll bring it back. Yeah. thank you very much for coming on. Give us a little plug.
No problem. Thank you for having me. Yeah, well, most of my stuff is on Valor UK, so follow me on Twitter, Charlie Malam, CharlieMalam, and I usually put up most of my best work on there.
Nice one. Cheers.
Thank you again for having me.
Thank you. Cheers, mate.
Right, let's have some youth news. Manchester United's under-18s trip to Stoke City on Saturday was postponed due to a waterlogged pitch. The weather not too good around that time on Saturday morning. The under-23s, meanwhile, play Liverpool an hour or so after this recording. So check out our Twitter at UTD Weekly Pod POD for the result of that. Or there's more loan news, though, with five United loanees in action. Dean Henderson started a fifth consecutive game for Grimsby Town on Saturday, but couldn't keep out three goals as they were well beaten. That's in a 3-1 loss against Stoke City. Not going well for David Moyes' Sunderland, is it? Cameron Borthwick-Jackson remains out in the cold. A worse situation at Wolves and is expected to be recalled, but why he hasn't yet is a mystery. Halfway through the transfer window now. One player that's recently gone out on loan is goalkeeper Sam Johnston, and he started a second consecutive game for Steve Bruce's Aston Villa, having joined them about a week ago. Meanwhile, Andreas Pereira started for Granada against Osasuna in La Liga. He's playing well there. Guillermo Varela remains unavailable as Eintracht Frankfurt didn't include him in the squad for a friendly ahead of the return of the Bundesliga, although he is expected to return soon, having had surgery on an ankle ligament injury. That happened in September, so should be back in the next month. Eric Bailly, this isn't low news, but international news, played the full 90 minutes and helped Ivory Coast to keep a clean sheet during their 0-0 draw versus Togo at the Africa Cup of Nations.
Jack, only one game this week. It was very odd to have no midweek game. Going to get a surprising amount of work done this week. Anyway, against Stoke City on Saturday, 3 o'clock kickoff as well. That's also odd. Not on TV. What are you going for this? We'll be very quick. What score?
Stoke away is never easy, but Stoke this season are not quite the same animal they've been in previous seasons. They did just come off a good result at the weekend, but I'm going to go for a 2-0 win with Ibrahimovic and Mkhitaryan getting on the score sheet. Annoyingly, I'm not going to be able to watch this game because I have an exam. Even though I have an exam Saturday morning, America time. So I'm not going to be able to watch this game, but hopefully I will come out of the exam to a nice United win to cheer me up.
That's what you want, especially if the exam's gone bad. I will go, optimistically, United to bounce back for exactly the same as you, 2-0. Yeah, and Zlatan to get his 15th Premier League goal of the season and stay with the pack in the bid for the Golden Boot. Golden Boot at 35 would be astonishing. If he does get it, and I don't think he actually will, but if he does, he must be the oldest Golden Boot winner in Premier League history, not in Division 1 history. Surely.
Yeah, off the top of my head, I can't think of anyone who would challenge him for that.
Anyway, we haven't got any questions. Lazy listeners, we need more questions. To make up the final few minutes on this. But to be honest, that is all we have time for. Series 2, episode 21 of the Manchester United Weekly Podcast. As we finally have a midweek off with no Europa League, no FA Cup, no League Cup. But don't worry, it's full steam ahead after this weekend with 4 games in 11 days. Next up is Stoke City on Saturday. For more from us, check out www.manchesterunitedweeklypodcast.com or follow us on Twitter at UTDweeklypod, that's P-O-D. You can follow Jack at
UTD Tate, T-A-I-T. In fact, Harry, I have something that could fill the last couple of minutes. We did this earlier with Charlie. We've got 17 games left in the season now. We've had a supposedly season-defining game against Liverpool. Where are Man United going to finish? And what's the top six going to look like?
We're going to finish... We're going to finish fourth as City miss out.
It's tough. My heart says fourth, but in my head, I'm not sure who is going to drop out other than City to let us in. But I don't want to say fifth. I'm going to go fourth and Arsenal to miss out along with City.
Oh, that would be satisfying. I'll take that. Say that 8 days a week. Anyway, that's a very nice way of filling the last minute there. Well done. And that is now all we have time for on Series 2, Episode 21 of the Manchester United Weekly Podcast. A little reminder, as you can find more from us at www.manchesterunitedweeklypodcast.com. Follow us at UTD Weekly Pod. That's P-O-D on Twitter. Follow Jack at UTD Tate. That's T-A-I-T. And a nice and easy, simple name for you now. Follow me at HarryRobinson64 on Twitter for more from us. As always, thanks for tuning in. Goodbye.
Network. Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.